Perfectly Sane Show, episode 294. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Call me maybe.
And Jeff.
Yo.
Well, we already did call you, Tony.
So. Oh, damn it. Damn it.
Well, here's my number.
I was about to start singing some Carly J. Repson or whatever the hell her name is.
Jepson, isn't it?
We need to bring this song back. I think there was.
I like
enough.
That song. I think I actually bought that on Rock Band 4. So
I may have done that too.
I ain't ashamed.
It's a fun pop song. Like,
yeah, and if you can't enjoy it, you're just a miserable human being.
That's right. Go back to your Donald Trump rally, you bastard.
Because obviously, like, if you don't like that song or other fun pop songs, you're a Trump supporter. Like.
Clear.
So what we want to talk about here, we're not going to talk about Assault Android Cactus because Pete's not here, so cross that off.
I have no idea what that is.
What the fuck is an Assault Android Cactus, man?
I think that's his nickname for something.
It's a PS4 game that we got offered a review code for, and I asked him if he wanted it, and he said, yeah.
I wasn't gonna play and it. He regrets that decision.
Yeah, it was it was a 3-star review on the site, so. It's a twin stick shooter. It looks cute, I guess.
Just remember, keep your stick away from the cactus.
Yes.
That's the key.
Don't let those needles prick it.
Is that where the term prick comes from? Have something to do with needles? To get...
I don't know. there's some other stuff out there. Tony has played more Crusader Kings 2.
That's right.
Get the fuck out of here, really?
Hey, not only have I played it, but you know what came in the mail a couple days ago? My Crusader Kings 2 shirt.
Tony has reached like a whole new level.
I thought you were gonna say like another copy of Crusader Kings 2.
Why would I need? I don't know. A copy on Gamersgate, and I have one on Steam. So technically, I do.
It does have multiple copies of it.
I feel like you just keep buying the game and playing it over and over. Then again, I could be accused of doing the same thing. So, not Crusader Kings 2, but other games. So,
if a game is fantastic, you should play more of it. That's how it works, right?
Yeah, nothing wrong with that.
And if there's a new expansion, you should come back to that game and play it again.
Sure.
Like with Crusader Kings 2. I will say, though, trying to play this time, it had been like, I don't know, 8 months since I played the game. Right. And I could not for the life of me remember how to do anything.
Right. Jeff, you got to remember, like, there's Tony's Crusader Kings 2, and then there's also his Europa Universalis 4.
That's right.
So we might be getting those crossed up with countless expansions both have.
So are you just replaying it, or are you playing a new expansion for it?
This is a new expansion called the Conclave. So basically what they did was you always had, when you were ruling your, whatever it happened to be, your duchy or your kingdom or whatever, you would have like a head general, and you'd have like your high counselor and your head priest and whatever, and they would form like this council, but they never worked together. So now the council is like its own like body, and they're like affecting you as you're trying to make decisions, and they're like passing judgment on you. So they can change how you might do certain things, like if this guy is rebelling or like he's plotting to overthrow you or whatever. Before in Crusader Kings 2, you'd always just toss that guy in prison. Because there's nobody to stop you. You could do pretty much whatever you want. Now the council can get together and say, no, we don't want him imprisoned. You can go ahead and toss him in prison anyway, but then the council will be displeased. And if you displease them too much, then they'll rebel and you have to fight them in a war. So it's kind of a, like, you now have to manage them. You have to keep them happy. If your counselors are unhappy, they'll start to plot against you, and it adds a new element of, sedition to the game, which is kind of cool. Like I was trying to say before, I haven't played the game in a while, and I went in and didn't – it took me, like, 20 minutes to figure out how to do anything. Because they changed how you input, like they changed the interface and how you interact with it.
Okay.
So now everything, instead of like you would go to someone and you'd left click and it would open up a menu and you have a whole bunch of options. And now everything, like all the menus are hidden and you have to right click on whatever it happens to be. Like everything is, it looks a lot neater, like it looks tighter. But if you were trying to play the game for the first time, you would have no idea where to go or what to do. So for an experienced player, I think it's helpful. Like, it looks nicer. But everything being hidden away the way it is, it's just kind of hard to penetrate now.
More Crusader Kings 2.
Yeah, more Conclaving.
You also played Hand of Fate.
Hand of Fate. Yes, the...
What is that?
So, Hand of Fate was one of the free Xbox Live titles from last month.
Oh, yeah, I looked at that.
I've been looking at it on Steam, considering whether I wanted to buy it when it was really cheap. Then Xbox decided that I could have it for free, so I was saved that decision. So, Hand of Fate is an RPG collectible card game-ish type deal. So, you'll start off... you walk up to this table and there's this guy and he's the dealer and he'll deal the game for you. So you'll start off with this really weak deck and you'll have your hero and he'll start on a card and he'll move from card to card and there's like this map of cards that he puts out for you. And each card will be an event or like an encounter with a monster. You'll play through those, and if it's an encounter with a monster, you'll move to this, like, third-person action-type combat. It actually looks a lot like, I'm losing the name of the game in my head, but definitely third-person action combat using the card weapons that you've managed to collect along the way. So there's an element of card play and an element of that third-person action.
Okay.
Blended together. But so you move through these encounters, and you'll move through the end of the map till you find like the mouth of the cave or whatever. And when you get to the mouth of the cave, the map will disappear and he'll deal you a new map. And you keep going through these maps until you get to like the end boss encounter for the card game. And as you're completing these encounters or whatever, you get tokens. And once you defeat the end boss for your little the little game that you've played, you unlock all the tokens, and they will give you cards. And these cards will unlock new items and new weapons and new blessings and new curses and whatever, new everything, which will then get mixed into your deck. So the next time you play, you'll have all this new stuff to do. So it's basically you start off with a little small subset of game, and as you play more, it builds the game bigger. So every time you play, you get new stuff to do, assuming you make it to the end and get to open up your tokens.
Hmm.
It's an interesting concept. I don't know if I'm explaining it well, but...
All I heard is you said I have a weak dick, and I stopped listening.
What did
deck.
I say?
Weak deck.
Deck.
Oh, okay. Oh, cards.
It's weird, like the card and then the like third person combat and sounds strange.
Yeah, it is, and the cards can screw you pretty badly too. So, there's a really high element of chance. The third-person combat is pretty generic. If you've played games like that, Kingdoms of Amalur, that's the game that it has really similar combat.
Okay.
But,
it's kind
like
of
that's
simplistic.
It is pretty simplistic, and occasionally, like I just had an encounter with an end boss who I made it all the way to, but since I didn't find any new like armor or weapon cards, like I was still using like my basic stuff, to fight an end boss. So it was really hard. And sometimes you'll get to the end and you'll have like everything, you'll be like a god because you found like every awesome helmet and every weapon of death, and your armor is the best possible thing you could find, and you've gotten like 12 blessings along the way for bonuses.
Right.
So it really, sometimes it's really easy to play and sometimes it falls hard. Which I think is kind of cool. There was a large element of I have no idea what's going to happen when I hop into this game. I've been playing a lot of it. I mean, I really like it. I like the random element. I think it adds a lot to...
I think I downloaded it, so...
It was free, so...
I never, like, dude, I look at those free games and I'm always just like, I don't know what this is even. Sometimes I'll, like, click on it and watch a broadcast for a second of someone playing it, but, like, I have not downloaded their free games in forever, dude.
I download the free game every single time.
I know it's stupid.
I really don't want it. I just delete it.
Well, that's the thing. It's like,
forever.
That's the thing. I should just download it so I have it, yeah. But, like, so often I'm like, I really don't care if I have this. Like, I don't even want to bother, and I don't.
This one at least sounds like it's something different, so.
Yeah, I think that's what I'm getting. It's different. I haven't played anything like this, so.
Jeff and I have played something that we've played before, so.
Great.
Not something different. but it's in HD now.
Yes.
Jeff.
God.
Tell us about The Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess.
I think it does look significantly better. I know that if you just pop this in, Chris, and you're looking at it, you might be like, I don't know, but like, go watch videos of the GameCube or Wii version, and it looks like it's just smeared with Vaseline or something. It like, this looks a lot better, I think, for one.
It,
so
it looks good. It's sharper. It looks like an old game, but that doesn't necessarily, it's not bad.
It does look like an old game for sure, but like, it's definitely not like an eyesore, anyways. Like, I think
it looks all right.
But that's, you know, it's a welcome, you know, nice cleaning it up and all that, and getting to play it finally not on a Wii remote. That's a nice thing for me. I know that you said, Chris, that like you didn't even play much of it at all because you hated playing with
the Wii. Yeah, I did not like the controls, the waggle controls, and yeah, I did not enjoy it on the Wii, so I did not play. I'm actually further in the game now, and not very far in it, but I'm further in the game now than I was the first time I played it.
Where are you?
I just met Zelda.
Have you done any temples?
I'm a dog, a wolf.
You're still...
I just became a wolf, and I met Zelda.
Oh, you ain't even done shit.
Yeah, I'm like 2.5 hours in. Maybe
you haven't done like the Forest Temple yet.
No, I haven't done anything. Like,
oh my god,
I did a what? So you kind of run around a little. Did I do the Forest Temple? I was in the forest.
No, you would know. It would say like when you walk in, it would say Forest Temple.
Yeah,
like,
no, I was in the forest and I beat some enemies there because that kid got kidnapped. So I had to go rescue the kid, and then I go back, and the mayor's like, "Oh, you're gonna go off to Hyrule," but the horse gets hurt, so your girlfriend takes the horse, and you go to go get your horse, and some goblins or something come and kidnap the horse and the kid.
Okay.
And you end up chasing after them, and you end up in the Twilight Realm, where you're a wolf.
And yeah, you are like in the very
chapter two or three.
The problem with the game is the beginning is too long, and I told you that going in. It's just too long and it's boring.
Really long, like you goat herd and you're doing menial tasks, and every Zelda game has some of that to a certain extent. But this seems like excessively long. Like,
no, I don't think they all do. Like. Look at Link to the Past. You wake up.
Well, no, yeah. No, I mean, I don't remember Ocarina too well, but The 3D ones seem to kind of give you this, like, hey, we're going to teach you about playing Zelda in a 3D world, so we're going to kind of go through, like, some tutorial shit.
And they're telling more of, like a story, I think, than the old 2D ones, yeah, but, like, yeah. I don't know, the 2D one stuff, the story pretty great. Your uncle's in trouble, go to the castle and save him. Like, it was, like, right away, you're off killing shit, and you know what I mean? Like, you find right. your uncle
and
dying.
And as you get there, as like, in A Link to the Past, you definitely get more story as you play. It's just, yeah. like, the setup is very quick, and it's like, this is what you have to do.
And here is, like, the pinnacle of bloat here. Like, the beginning is very long. I think that they were trying to do something different in showing you Link's life before he becomes a hero. Like, he's just, like, a teenager farmhand type guy. But they spend way too much time on it and way too much time on that setup. And the guys that ported this to HD, like, for this remake, did not cut any of it out. Like, it's all still there in its dull glory. Once you get to the first temple, it gets better, for sure. Like, this game has the most temples. It has 9 dungeons, and most of them are pretty fantastic. I think the first one, you might just be like, oh, that's okay. It's a basic, like, kind of like Ocarina, like, forest temple. It's like, the first one's, it's pretty easy, right, you know?
And it's one that, like, you don't really have a whole lot of skills yet, so.
Yeah. But the one right after that is fantastic. You get these, like, metal boots that, and there's, like, all these, like, magnets and shit on the ceiling and on the walls. So, like, through, like, 80% of that, the second temple is called Goron Mines. You are walking on the walls and walking on the ceilings and shit and solving puzzles that way. So, so it picks up after that. I do still think, though, like, all right, this game has the most dungeons out of any Zelda, but also has just as much of this, like, filler fetch quest content in between the dungeons, which if you cut all that stuff out, the game would still be, like, 25, 30 hours. So why is all that stuff there is my problem with this. Looking back on it now, like, replaying it again.
Right.
I kind of went on a Twitter rant about this the other night because I was, like, playing it and got aggravated. My thing with these games, like, I think this is a fantastic game. It's really good. Like, some of the dungeons in this one, there's 3 of them. Like, there's Goron Mines, which is the second one, fantastic. The fourth one called Arbiter's Grounds, and the one I'm working towards right now, it's called the Sky Temple. They're all, like, among the very best in the whole series, so it's worth playing through. But my problem with these 3D Zelda games is, for whatever reason, Nintendo feels like they need to have all this padding between the levels, where it's like you're doing, like, these insanely long fetch quests and all this bullshit, to the point where if you put the game down for a couple days and you come back and you're in the middle of one of these, like, fetch quests, you're going to be like, I don't know what the hell I'm doing anymore.
Right.
I do think, and I hope that they do this with the new one, and I think there are signs of this, like, based on interviews and things that they said, this is how I think you, like, update the Zelda formula and make it better. You can go to dungeons and there's no filler bullshit between it. Instead, have a big open world with side quests that are cool and interesting and meaningful there for you to do if you want to do
them. Yeah, completely optional.
So, like, you can make it a 50-hour game if you want, or it could be 30 hours. You know what I mean? Like most Western RPGs these days. Everything that they, like, you know, they keep talking about how it's like a more of an open world game. The last Zelda that they did, like, between worlds, you were able to go to dungeons in any order you wanted. And just today there was an interview with the producer where he was saying that, like, you're definitely going to see a Western influence on this game. So all signs point to them doing what I want them to do with it, because as it is, I'm not doing any of the side quests in this because there's so much bloat going through the main story, you know what I mean? Like, where I'm just like, man, I gotta do, like, 3 hours of boring bullshit to get to the next thing that I want. So that's my little rant on it, but I'm enjoying it quite a bit. I'm 28 hours in, and I have 3 dungeons left. Once I pass Like, I'm doing a side quest to get into the Sky Temple here. Once I get past that side quest, the last three dungeons are boom, boom, boom. Like, you don't have to do any bullshit between them. So, I don't know.
It's a game.
Do you plan on sticking with it?
Yeah, I'm playing it. Like, I'm playing a little bit of it here and there. Like, I'm not powering through it like you. But, yeah.
I would warn against, like, putting it down for too long, though. Because you just... Every Zelda game, especially any of the 3D ones recently, you put it down, you pick it back up, you know, a week or two later, you're not going to know what the hell you're doing anymore. You're just like, whatever, I'm done.
Right.
So.
Well, hopefully that doesn't happen, but. It could. There's definitely that possibility. And we're also getting into April where games are coming out, so.
I'm impressed by how far I have not played in 2 days, okay? So between Friday and Sunday or something, I, like, played, like, basically 30 hours of it. Like, I basically, that's all I did.
Yeah, I think you had tweeted out something on, like, Monday or so. You were, like, 26 hours in.
Yeah, definitely. And so
I'm, like, a tenth of that. Maybe.
I will say, like once you get going, it does get a little bit better. Like, right now, I'm doing a pretty big... It's basically like the Wind Waker near the end where they make you go get all the Triforce pieces. I'm, like, running around the world right now trying to find these six whatever the fucks. And once I do that... But once I get to do that, I get to do the last three dungeons in a row. But there is... I think it's between the fourth... Or no, I'm sorry. Between the fifth and the sixth one, there's almost nothing you do between them. It's just kind of like, all right, you beat that one. Now go to the next one. And you're like, thank God, dude. And the temples are great in it, dude. So, I don't know. Once you get going, it's like a better version of Ocarina of Time. So, I don't know. It's good, man. Gotta play some more.
I am. But I also have to play more of The Division.
No! Actually, everyone seems to really be enjoying that, so.
It's okay.
It's okay, huh?
It's okay. It's a cool world. Like, I mean, the setup is pretty interesting. There's been a biological terrorist attack on New York, happened on Black Friday.
Oh no!
The sales. These terrorists infected some currency. I guess it would have been in New York at the time, with smallpox and the flu and some other stuff. And so there was some sort of outbreak that happened in New York, and shit went south real bad. And they've called in the Division, which is like this special unit of special ops people that just kind of wait around for their watch to beep. Once goes, they go to work. You start off in Brooklyn, which was not in the beta. Like, they give you this section. It's kind of a tutorial section. Set you off. You have to go to the safe house, and you have to go you run a couple missions, and then they bring you to Manhattan proper. And that's where I'm at. Like, I'm in Manhattan at this point. I'm not very far in. Don's like level 10 or something. I'm level 4, I think, and that's pretty far below where he is. I have not finished the content that was in the beta yet, so I'm pretty far behind. I don't know. I came out of the beta pretty high up on it. This is a cool game. Like,
definitely. It's like a loot-based shooter, right? Like,
kind of like Destiny, yeah. Loot-based shooter, third person. But the shooting, it's just okay.
It doesn't look good. Like, I've been looking at the videos that Don has been posting, and I'm just like, that combat does not look that great.
No. Go ahead, Jeff.
I've never been interested in it, but I've just seen a lot of people, like, really enjoying it. So it still doesn't make me interested in it just because, I don't know, I got Zelda to play right now. So
see, this is the thing about... The people who seem to be really enjoying it are the people who really like the games where you level up and get lots of stuff.
Right.
Don is way into that, and that's fine, but I need more than that in my game.
Yeah, and, I mean, I like leveling up too, but yeah. Like when I'm shooting a gun in a game, I especially a game that is realistically based, right? Like you are in New York, you are shooting modern military hardware. In many cases, the early enemies you are facing are just like people. They're not military people. They're just people that, you know, have gotten some weaponry. They've ganged up as looters or whatever, and you're taking them on. Like, I know later on they're armored enemies. I ran into some of them in the beta. That's not what you're facing early on. Yet these guys are taking like a whole clip of bullets to the head. And it's like, go the fuck down. Like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah, I saw John like emptying clips into people, and yeah, like, just like,
I don't know if you saw the one where he emptied like a whole shotgun into like a dude and he didn't go down. It's like, I don't know, like I get that these RPG type games like need to, you need a way to make it challenging and you can't take enemies down as quick. Like Borderlands does that, Destiny does it, but in Borderlands and Destiny, like, they play off of the fact that you are in a sci-fi environment,
right?
And like sometimes you're not fighting humans. Like if I play a game, like if I play Splinter Cell and I shoot a dude in the head, he dies. Like I don't need to empty 2.5 clips into his head. Especially like I'm supposed to be like one of the best special operatives ever, and I'm having trouble with a guy who's looting a television. Like that seems a little absurd.
Right.
I don't know. I it's okay. And maybe like Don tried to get me to play tonight, but it just wasn't gonna work out. Because we're recording, but it was like maybe playing with other people be more fun. Like I know Don has people he's playing with, and maybe that'll make it more fun, and maybe if I can level up and get into some of that, maybe at that point then the shooting becomes a little more. But right now, it's just like mechanically, the game just doesn't seem to have it. Like, the rest of the stuff is there. Like, I like picking up loot. I like leveling up my characters. The story is kind of interesting. Like, I like these, like, post-apocalyptic type settings. And this is kind of an interesting one because it takes place in a city that we all know. Like, there's iconic landmarks and... like, that's cool. I don't know. Don will be on next week. He can defend the Division a little bit more. Oh, and the other thing I want to talk about with that, though, is, like, you would think that a game like this where, you know, it's massively multiplayer to an extent, you would be able to customize your character a little more than what they have going on. There's, like, 5 different types of models you can use. And there's a little bit of stuff you can do, like faces, but like for like this comes from, I guess there's nothing Ubisoft does that has really like some facial recognition stuff. But there are other games out there that have really like in-depth character creators. You would think that a game like this, where you are looking at them at all times, would have some really cool stuff. Instead, it's just like you kind of customize your character by the puffy jacket you're wearing.
Ooh,
puffy jacket. Yeah.
Right, you got my attention now. Puffy you brought up the puffy jacket.
That's gonna sell everybody on it. I don't know. I'm definitely interested to hear Don coming because he seems really excited about it and he's really having fun with it. And I would rather go play more Halo.
I was making
Are
fun of Don.
Are you still playing Halo?
Yeah, lots of
because Chris's Halo's clips look infinitely more interesting than
Don's
clips. From...
like, I don't know, like when I record something, like it's like that was cool. I want to record it. I don't know what goes through Don's head when he records.
It's like a guy clapping in an elevator. Like, what is that?
Yes,
what?
That was the one.
Is this the highlight? Like, I don't understand. Like, sometimes it's John. He does clips of him playing Elder Scrolls Online. It's him like standing on top of a mountain for like 25 seconds, and then at the end he jumps off. Like, is this art?
There was one, it took me a while, he did, there was another Elder Scrolls clip, he was like in this like tower with a fire, and it took me a while to realize exactly what he was recording. It, I guess a goat had fallen into the fire, and he was looking at that. And then he jumped off the tower. What is going on here? Don's appeal for recording clips is sometimes boggling my mind. So, but I did like that one where he emptied an entire shotgun into a random thug.
That was not a good selling point for the game right there.
But yeah, interested to see what Don has to say about the division, because it's lots of people seem to be really into it. So. And yeah, Jeff, you should come. Griffball is in Halo now, so you should come play.
I'm just more surprised that no one's like super addicted to Rocket League yet, besides Fozzie. Still,
I'm playing it. I play Rocket League.
I play it here and there, but I haven't touched it since all.
It's not like I would, like I go on. I'm playing Halo almost daily this month. Like I went through and requalified all the ranked playlists and. It drives Don crazy because I now have over 100,000 rec points that I haven't spent. but Rocket League's fun.
It's fun, but I just, like I said, it's like a filler game. Like you play it. To me, it's something you play between games.
Yeah, it's like I can jump in. I can play a game of that. It's less than 10 minutes, but like, I don't want to sit down and play it for like an hour or 2 hours on end.
And just, I don't know, to me, like, Fozzie is, like, still so high on it, like, talking about how it should have been Game of the Year, and it's not, like, I don't know, I don't really see it.
It's fun.
Like, it's not bad, yeah. It's very fun, but I don't know.
I'm not sure I'm with him on the Game of the Year stuff, though. Like, it probably would have made my top 10, but, yeah, high up my top 10.
There's not much to it. There's no trick to it, and I've played a game like that before, so it's like... I just feel like they fleshed out something
they've been done before. Right. They made an arcade sports game.
Yeah,
it's fun. It's just, but that's what it is. It's an arcade sports game. We haven't actually had a good arcade sports game in a while, but
yeah, I guess that's part of it. Maybe, yeah, I don't know. Yeah,
but yeah, it's the matches aren't that different, like. It's the stuff you can do with the cars, like some of the stuff some of those people can do with the cars is insane. Like,
yeah,
like flying around. But like, if for the most part, I'm ranked with people that are pretty shitty, like me, and like, games are sloppy and, sometimes like just random shit happens, goals happen, like you don't really know why. It's just the ball happened to bounce into the net. Nobody directed it that way. It just bounced off of somebody else, and somebody else tried to defend it and wasn't able to get it away. My son really likes it.
Hey, I mean, it's a fun game. It's just, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Let's jump into some news, and then we'll wrap this up. We'll make it a short one this week. Fable Legends was canceled. Do you guys remember that game?
Abruptly.
Yeah.
Which is so funny because they just let me into the beta last week.
They figured they could do no better. Chris is in the beta.
So
game over.
And I never played it. I just downloaded it. Fable Legends canceled. And sounds like they're probably going to be shutting down Lionhead Studios.
I'm shocked.
Right?
Shocked that they can limp on without Peter Molyneux.
Right, and they have not done a real game since 2010.
Right.
I don't know. People are like, it's all like Microsoft's a destroyer of studios. Like, it sounds like they let this team do a bunch of stuff for 6 years and none of it panned out. And their big person left, what, 3 or 4 years ago? Molyneux left after that Kinect game they made. So.
Yeah. Instead, he's off spouting his hot air elsewhere.
Not delivering on his promises.
It's awful. Over there. It's an epidemic.
People are going, I guess that means the end of Fable. I don't think Lionhead closing down means, like, Microsoft's going to be like, no more Fable. Like,
maybe they can find another studio that can make a good Fable game. Right. Then again, who knows how well, like, Microsoft knows their brands better than we do. Like, how much goodwill is there out there for Fable? Like, is there? I don't honestly see anybody out there going like, "When's the next Fable game coming out?" I'm right. So excited for it.
That's another Assassin's Creed series for me.
Right, but there are people who are like, "I love Assassin's Creed. I want another one." There aren't people who are like,
"There weren't
Fable. Give me more Fable," because they had that first game was pretty good, and then they just kind of slid from there.
I remember a lot of people loving Fable 2, and I played that, and I was like,
it's okay.
It was all right. There was nothing wrong with Fable 2. Yeah. And then Fable 3 came along, and you're like, all
right. Still kind of, right. Yeah, like, Fable 3 was a little bit of a step back, I thought. But.
And then, after that, I mean, I don't understand what you would want from a Fable game after that.
Nothing more.
And honestly, with Molyneux out there, you're like, okay, what can you give me in a Fable game? And you can't believe his answer.
Right. Like, I remember very clearly there was the E3. It was after Fable 3 had come out. Kinect was the big thing that, you know, Microsoft was pushing. All their studios were working on Kinect games at that point. And Lionhead was doing, was it Fable the Journey? Which was the Kinect game, and he kept going, this is not an on-rails experience, and it was an on-rails game. like, the guy just, he's delusional.
I don't know. I think that they fucked that series up. Between 3 and that fucking Kinect one, and then doing this, it was just, I don't know.
I don't know if they fucked it up. Like, I think that 3 was probably the closing point. That's probably where...
When you have too many spinoffs, yeah. And then...
You probably should have ended it at 3, gone on, and created something new.
Or whatever.
And I guess, like, they were trying to jump in with that asymmetrical multiplayer thing with Legends, and... I mean, that had been in development for, what, 2.5 years? 3 years now?
I feel like it was announced like when the Xbox One came out.
Right. So, I mean, we're going on 2.5 years. Yeah. So, a long time. And that, I think we all were like, "What is this?" Like when it was announced. So,
luckily, I hate that series, so I don't care.
Yeah. I mean, I don't hate it. I liked Fable 2.
I always I think I've said it many times. It was like an RPG for people who hate RPGs, kind of. That's what it felt like to me.
It was like, RPG light, yeah.
Yeah. It had a really good sense of humor.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't...
It was a mix
like,
between...
I liked it, but I don't really want another one.
It was like a mix between an RPG and a Zelda game without the good things from either of those genres.
Yeah, and I think this game didn't do gangbusters either, but I think Kingdoms of Amalur came out, and that was a better game.
Oh my god, that game was amazing. Yeah. So.
Like, it kind of had the simplistic combat system, but there was more to it, and like, overall, that game was just better, I thought, so.
Yeah.
Well, Lionhead probably getting shut down. There was another studio over there. Press Play? Is that the one? I'm drawing a blank on it, but they did Max Curse of the Brotherhood, which was a fun game. Like, just, I mean, sounds like Microsoft wasn't getting what they needed out of it, so I don't think this is some sort of sinister thing where Microsoft buys up studios and then goes about systematically shutting them down.
Is it a thing, though, where Microsoft is having problems?
Is it? I don't know. Like, I mean, with any company, like, if you're not going to keep dumping money in, like, Lionhead was a pretty big studio. If you're not getting the results out of them, like, hey, maybe it's time to end this. We'll move you around.
Well, that was another thing I was saying, though, at first. I was like, Fable was kind of a big series, kind of, and they didn't make more Fable games. They made spin-off. I don't know. Whatever. I personally don't give a shit, but I do think that, like, there are signs of Microsoft. Like, they're way behind this generation, sadly. Like, I don't entirely get it, but And they're just like, it seems like they just don't know what they're doing at the moment.
I'm not sure I agree with that, but...
Who doesn't know what they're doing?
Microsoft. It seems like nothing they're doing is getting them back where they need to be in the race with...
Why do they need to be somewhere other than where they are now?
I think selling more. But
why? They have the number two best-selling console of all time right now. It's selling at a higher rate than any other console other than the PS4 has sold ever.
And their closest competitor is absolutely...
What difference does it make?
But I think it does make a difference.
I think this is one of those
games
conversations.
Games are designed for PS4. You're going to get less stuff coming just...
No, what game has said, oh, I'm not coming to Xbox One, it's not selling enough? Name one.
Like, outside of independence.
Yeah, you can't, because it's not... the Xbox One is selling huge. It's selling absolutely huge. PS4 is selling more huge, but these are the two fastest selling consoles of all time.
Like all reports from not out of Microsoft, like from EA, from Ubisoft, from Activision, like the Xbox is selling better than the 360 was.
I don't think comparing it to last gen. It doesn't exist. Okay. When Microsoft is sitting in their boardroom, they are not talking about Sony. They are talking about, what do our shares look like? Where are our profits? Where can we make more money? That's the conversations they're having. It's not, wow.
For every Xbox we sell,
Sony is selling 1.5 PS4s. I don't think that's the conversation that they're having. They don't care about that. That's not what matters.
I think going from the leader in the marketplace to a distant second is pretty big deal. Like, it's a big misstep. And I personally don't feel like they're doing anything majorly wrong. Like, I feel like the thing that confuses me is I do think it's they have a better library than PS4, and PS4 just continues to just dominate. And they must be just scratching their heads going, what do we have to do? We put out Halo, we're putting out Gears, like, you know. They have good exclusive. I think it's a better console all around. Maybe not as powerful as PS4, and yet they just continue to fucking lose to them. I don't think that they're sitting there going, oh, everything's great. I highly doubt that's the case.
What difference does it make? I mean, I would like to hear from you, Jeff. Say to me, what difference has it made to Microsoft that the PS4 is selling more?
Because they're getting more money than them.
Do you know that?
No. Microsoft, maybe specifically from the games division. Microsoft, though, as a company, is in much better shape than Sony.
I know, but they got to be looking at the games division going like,
but the games division is making the money.
Yeah, the game division is selling huge.
Like, it's not they're not taking like, this isn't like the Xbox One, like the original Xbox, where they took a bath. Like, they lost a lot of money on the original Xbox. And they actually, eventually, by the end of the generation with the 360, they made a good portion of money. But they lost a lot of money at the beginning of the 360 gen because of the Red Ring of Death stuff. They're not losing money in their hardware division right now. They're making money there. It's not PS4 money. But
that's the thing. I think as a corporation, you could sit there and just be like, oh, we're happy we're making profits.
Well, I'm sure they're not. Like, they're always trying to make more profits than they're making.
Yeah.
But I feel like the conversation that has been constructed by gaming journalism is largely over a conflict that doesn't really matter to the companies.
But to also just say that they're selling more than the 360 ever did is not – I don't think they give a shit. Like, that's the past. The numbers have to be bigger now. Like, you always got to get bigger and sell more. Like, that's just the way it is, you know?
Right,
just,
but what difference does it make the PS4 is selling more? I still don't...
It's the market share. Like, PS4 is dominating, and I personally, like I said, I don't get it. Like, I don't see what's there on PS4 that's better.
They are, like, in terms of hardware, but
Right.
Software isn't that far off between the two, and you have I don't know.
So you're telling me that Destiny or Call of Duty sells
Call of Duty does sell better on the Xbox One than it does on the PS4.
Yeah. Oh, really? Okay. Well, I
but in terms of that, like, I think it was either Ubisoft or 2K came out and they said an Xbox One consumer is more valuable to them than a PS4 consumer.
Because they buy more games, right?
When they buy more in-game as well. They spend more on DLC. They spend more on in-game purchases. They make more money off of an Xbox One player than a PS4 player, even if they sell more on PS4. There's weird demographics going both ways, like... But I thought that was a really weird stat. Like, someone was like, hey, like, an Xbox One gamer is worth 1.5 PS4 users for us. That was a really weird thing. I have to look up that article.
I could kind of see that, because, like, if PS4 is, like, the huge mass market systems gen, you're going to get a lot of the casual people that just
Remember, the Wii was actually the winner last gen.
Yeah.
But their software did not sell. Exactly. So I could see that parallel and why that makes sense, kind of, you know. You have a lot of PS4 people that, like, buy, you know, one or two games. They buy out GTA 5 or whatever, you know, fucking Destiny, whatever the fuck.
Right. I don't know. It's really strange, but yeah, I mean there is an underlying kind of messaging out there that Microsoft is in a bad spot with their games, and some of that is just because their messaging right now is a little wonky. We didn't talk about it last week, but I guess we talked a little bit about the Microsoft showcase with Quantum Break and the other games they were showing, but we didn't really talk about the hell's his name? Phil
Spencer?
Phil Spencer, yes. I wanted to say Phil Harrison, but that's
no, that's not right.
I always want to say Phil Spector.
Phil Spector.
Gosh.
Not him either.
What are you reporting on?
But Spencer was out there. I guess he gave a keynote or something, and he was talking about, like, and it was very vague, but about upgradable Xboxes.
I saw that too. Yeah,
I don't like that idea. I don't like the idea of any of that.
I don't. I think
it's like, here's this box that you can buy to hook into your Xbox One, that would then increase your RAM and make your Xbox more powerful.
It makes a console into a PC, like more like a PC.
Yeah, it does.
I don't like the idea of that. What I like about consoles is I buy it. I buy a game for it. I put the game in. It plays the game. Like, I don't... Like, what's going to happen all of a sudden that, like, is there going to be a separate, like, SKU for, like, new, like, Xbox 2 games? Or, like, I don't know. Like, I don't like the idea of it. Like, I hope they don't go down that route. Like, just, like, I'm... Ride this out and do better next time. Like...
I do think we are, like, because of the way PC is, we might be reaching an end of, like, this generalized console cycle, too, though. But I'm interested in that type of system.
Why?
What Tony was saying with, like, plugging in, like, a box into your back and it makes your... I'm not sure I'm on board with that, but I might be on board with, if you could get it cost-effectively, like an iPad-type model.
You want constant upgrades? I don't want that. Like, no. No,
but if you could continue to play everything that you have, so like right now, let's say Halo 5. Halo 5 is an Xbox One game. Halo 6 is whatever's in the future, right?
Okay.
So you have your Halo 5 disc, and in 2 years, Halo 6 releases. And if, you know, they go to this iPad route, so every year they're releasing a new piece of hardware. It doesn't make your Xbox One obsolete. It just means that they can then optimize for the new Xbox for it to play that game at either a higher resolution or higher frame rate. it would be like a PC where, you know...
So you put the same game in either system.
In either one, but, like, on the original Xbox One, it doesn't play it quite as well as on the new Xbox One.
I don't like it. I just don't like it.
But you'd still be able to play that game.
I know, but... Give me... I don't like it. Then just fucking fuck it. Don't have console at all. Just, you know, why is Microsoft have an Xbox and a PC? Just whatever, like...
Because they can lock down the environment. So, I mean, like, why does Apple have an iPad? Like, they can lock down the ecosystem.
So you'd be down with spending like $400 every year on a new Xbox?
No, that's the thing. I wouldn't have to spend $400 every year. I would buy it when I feel it's time to upgrade. So, like, if they're like,
I just don't like it. I don't like it.
But you do it now. Like. So
I don't do it now.
But you have. It's just it hasn't been every year. But you did go from like a NES to a Super Nintendo.
Yeah, but that's the thing is when I buy a new console, I want it to be the next step in gaming. I don't want these incremental.
But that's what we got with the Xbox One and the PS4,
frame
right?
Rate's a little better.
Like I mean that's the biggest complaint with the Xbox One and the PS4.
That's why I'm disappointed in this.
But we're not. I don't. I think we've reached that. Max, right? Like, what is the next step? Like, you can go back all the way to the Atari 2600, and each generation you can look and see technological increases to that where the advancement was, right? Like,
yeah.
Where so you're playing your 2-bit games on whatever, then you get the Nintendo, oh shit, this is amazing, it's an 8-bit game. And then the Super Nintendo and Genesis come out, holy shit, the 16-bit, look at all the colors, there's 16 of them. And then the like the N64 and the PS1 come out and it's like this is amazing, it's in 3D. And then the PS2 and the Xbox come out and like they sharpen that up a little bit. And then the 360 and the PS3 came out and they sharpened it up a little bit more.
I think every generation has been a big step though, even from like GameCube to Wii, from Wii to Wii U. I think they've all been. Like, the last three gens have been big steps, but I think the last gen with Xbox and PlayStation, it's disappointing. And then if you're saying that, like, we're kind of peaked, why do I have to keep buying upgrades for it then, man? Wait, like, 6 years till there's something fucking significant you can make to look this, like, this stuff look better and play better, and just release that.
But,
like,
but that's what they did. Like, I mean, the hardware that's in the Xbox One is way more advanced than what's in the 360 and the PS3.
I know, and that's what I'd rather do. Like, I personally am not down if that's like where they're gonna go with it. Like, I don't know. I mean, I guess I have to accept it if that's the way it's gonna be. But
you don't have to.
No, but if let's say that's an industry changing thing. Like everyone.
It depends on how they do it too, right? Like I came up with this crazy nightmare scenario, and actually for me it wasn't a nightmare, but like I actually like the idea. But for most people, they'd be like, "This is a crazy nightmare scenario." What if Microsoft was like, we're going to increase Xbox Live to $20 a month?
Oh, Lord.
But you get our system. Like, this, we're going to subsidize our system. Like
they won't do it. They won't do that.
But it's not that far off of what, like, you know, your phone system is, right?
Yeah.
You sign up for a contract, you get a box.
And you just... trade it in for the upgrade whenever.
And then, yeah, when your contract's up, you go and get a new box. But it continues to play all the stuff you had. Like, I can still use apps that I got on my original iPhone. Like,
Kitty!
Jesus. I don't know.
Jeff got attacked by a cat. Is that what just happened?
I think so. I don't know. I understand where Jeff's coming from. It's slightly scary, like, because I don't think either Sony or Microsoft know where they're going next.
Right.
And granted, like maybe what Phil Spencer was saying has nothing to do with anything that anybody's been speculating. So he could have been like, "Hey, we're gonna." It could be like you're gonna have this thing you plug in the back, and like I'm right, like because that's what the PSVR is, right? Like it's gonna have a box that you plug into the back that basically boosts the power of the PS4.
Jeff, are you done having trouble with the pussy?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. I
pussy trouble.
I understand Your fear, Jeff.
It's not fear. I just don't like it. Like, I will accept if that's the way it is, but I don't. That's just...
I think we need more information, right? Like, we're all speculating. Not just us, either. It's, you know, the paid journalists. Like, they're all speculating, too, and making it sound like some sort of crazy nightmare scenario.
I think that this is just something that he said that we might be wasting all our time talking about, even. Like, it could be something, an idea they're exploring. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm sure, like, I mean, any company, they throw shit at a wall and see if something sticks. And
but it wasn't like a product announcement. It was just like, hey, we're talking about this.
Right, like, he just kind of, like, it was an off-the-cuff remark about how, like, he sees a future where you could upgrade your Xbox. Who knows what the hell that means? Like,
yeah, I don't know.
Speaking of upgrading your boxes, though, that we were talking a little bit about the PSVR, which I guess is that announcement's coming this month when that comes out.
they keep saying that. When?
I mean, March. I
there's
guess.
There's like some event coming up. I feel like I've been hearing about it forever.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But I don't have the report in front of me, but there was a report by a major polling, like tech polling thing. I guess they were interviewing people or surveying people, probably those mall surveys when you're walking around. Their results were that most people are not interested in VR. Most normal people are not interested in VR.
That's surprising.
Is it?
I think, well, as someone who grew up with Lawnmower Man.
Right, but remember, we're a weird demographic.
In our time, that shit was magic. You know what I mean? And so, like, there's no way, like, just the allure of that is ever going to go away. Like, I always, like, still want to try, like, and see it, like, realized. So, but I don't know how, like, even now to, like, people today, like, say that's cool and that's not cool, dude. Like, how is that not cool?
I mean, people like being social.
You could be social in it. They could create like an online thing where like you go and do things like, I don't know, like you go visit your relatives somewhere like in a virtual world. You know what I mean? Like people who live far away from you, whatever.
You could. There are definitely possibilities for VR. I don't want to think that. I just thought it was really interesting that like. There are people like Ben Kuchera out there, like basically being the evangelist for VR.
I'm not like that. I'm just,
no. You're like it's cool. Like hey, maybe this is something that'll work. but yeah, like there are definitely like I don't know if any of you have read any of Ben Kuchera's articles recently. He is basically like he's kind of like the Billy Graham of VR. Yeah, he is, like, definitely making this out to be, like, this thing is going to take off by storm. And I'm not sure. I've been very skeptical of it. And then that report came out, like, that normal people don't seem to be kind of all that big on it. Guys more than women. And then the pricing, like, it seems like if it's over $300, people are out. Completely.
Right.
Yeah. Which I think we had talked about before. Like, that's expensive.
I'm still unsure where I'm willing to go with PSVR. I'm assuming it's going to be 500 or less.
Yeah,
but there's a point between 300 and 500 where I second guess the whole thing.
Is that at 400?
Like, yeah, probably.
If it came in at 300, you'd be like on board. But that's 400
that's a day
is...
one. Yeah, $300 is day one to get it at that price. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I need you to be my guinea pig, Jeff.
I really, you know, I hope it's a reasonable. Even 350, I could do that. I could go with you on.
you could be talked into it at 350.
Yeah.
Oh,
just
because
it feels like it's so much cheaper than the other.
It is.
Yeah, it is.
I mean,
really, even when you factor in the hardware besides that, it's still cheaper.
Right. Like, I mean, if like for you to set up, actually probably for all three of us to set up for a like Oculus or a Vive, it would cost us like over $1,000.
Well over $1,000.
Again, I don't know exactly what Tony's running for his PC, but I know I'd have to upgrade my my video card.
I don't. My video card is fine. I would need more USB ports.
Oh, right, because it needs like
five of them. Yeah. I only have three.
That's insane. That's insane.
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, who has that many? What, right. Like, why do you?
That's need such that? A neat.
That is like, that is the only reason I can't run it. Like, I would have to get an entirely new computer just for that. What a stupid requirement.
Yeah, you guys are PC gamers, and that it's too niche for you guys to play it. So think about that. Like, it's. Right. I don't think they're going to do very well. But I do think that this technology is something that is not going away. Like, I think it's just going to get better, and it's going to be pretty common. I think. Like, there's no way. It's too cool. Come on.
There's been lots of cool things that have gone away, though. So,
I think VR is something that, like, in the future is, like, a lot of people are going to use for a lot of reasons besides just gaming.
Yeah, I think that's where it has, like, the biggest upside, right? It's, like, being able to do stuff, like you said, where you can, like, visit with your family that are across the world or being able, like, educational purposes, like, you know, instead of we're going to show you a picture of the Great Wall of China, we're gonna fucking put you on the Great Wall of China, like,
yeah,
like stuff like that could be cool
and all that shit. Yeah,
I guess we'll find out more about that sometime this month, right?
Right.
I hope maybe $600.
All right, got one more news story here, and then we'll end this thing. You guys know about the Coleco Chameleon?
Dude, I've been following this story. I've been following this system since before anyone was talking about it, because I heard the guy who was making it. I didn't tell you guys this before.
I don't know.
The guy who was making it was on this random retro podcast that I, like, was given a shot, and, like, I know it has to be him, because, like, I don't remember the guy's name. The guy's name is Mike Kennedy, but I don't remember if it, like, the guy I listened to on a podcast was him, right? I don't, but the idea was the exact same thing. He's like, I want to make this retro console. And, like, he was, like, really serious about it. He's like, I got some people who are going to invest it. Like, just think about it. We could have Angry Birds on a cartridge. And, like, remember the days when you could put a cartridge in and, like, everything would work just perfectly. And I remember listening to it on his podcast, and all these podcast hosts were like, yeah, that sounds really cool, like, blah, blah, blah. And I'm sitting there going, no, this is a horrible idea. So anyways, I've known about it for a long time, and I've been following the story pretty closely because it's, like, this guy is pretty untrustworthy, I think.
Yeah,
that's pretty clear.
Sounds like it, especially since Coleco has officially pulled their name from this device, so... I guess it started out as what, the Retro VGS, Jeff?
Yeah.
That sound right? And that got pulled, and they dealt with this Coleco company. It's not the original Coleco. It's like a holding company that has the rights to the names and stuff.
But they do put products out, I think, like video game products out.
Okay. I mean, that makes sense. They have the rights to ColecoVision.
You know, like, plug and plays and shit like that.
Right, yeah. Like that, you can get, like, an Atari 2600 one that plays, like, 80 yeah. games or something. Actually, there's a Genesis one that's pretty cool, too. But, yeah, so this guy, I guess they had gone out, they had gotten Coleco to sign on to this, they were going to make a new system, and yeah, Coleco was pulled out because I guess this thing was a whole scam. So,
well, like, they've tried to do it two or three times and to get crowdfunding, but, like, on Kickstarter or whatever, you need, like, a
working prototype. Yeah,
and that's the whole thing he's been working towards the whole time. Even with Coleco now, like, they're making it sound like they had something to show, and they're supposed to be at, like, this Toy Fair thing and all this shit.
Well, they were at Toy Fair.
Oh, they were at Toy Fair.
Yeah, they showed up with.
Oh, that's where they, like, yeah.
Which I guess is where people were like, hey, this doesn't look right. Like,
so, yeah, that's the other part of the story is It's basically like a some sort of SNES chip, not the regular Super Nintendo, but something else, and then a capture card.
Yeah,
like people figured out it was just parts they slapped into the.
Right, they took like boards and stuff and threw them into a Atari Jaguar case, and it was all caught.
Which just goes to show you, this is a guy who like has an idea, but he doesn't know what he's doing at all, and he's just trying to somehow get the money, and then hoping that everything will fall into place after that. But he can't do it because he can't build a prototype because he doesn't know what the fuck he's doing.
He's not an engineer.
It's just like, and his idea is really stupid on top of that. Like, I'm sorry, I love retro gaming, but like, that is a terrible, terrible idea. Like, think about it.
Yeah.
It's a terrible idea.
I think this guy is in charge of this guy you were talking about. I think he is in, he runs a site called Glide.
Possibly.
Which is like this, it's like an eBay for games.
Yes, yes, yeah. He has that, and he has like a magazine too, I think.
Yeah, so I mean, like, maybe he came up with this idea and like, you know, maybe he asked these people like, hey, make me one of these. And they were like, here it is. It's like,
I think I do think he wants to do this. Like, I think he is something like he's passionate about, but he's an idiot. Like, he just has no idea what he's doing. And he has no idea how to like put this all together. Like, he's just like, he just has this idea. It's like something you come up with in your stone, and he's like sticking to it. Like, wouldn't it be cool if we had like a new system came out and it was on cartridges? And remember how cartridge games were perfect? And they weren't.
No,
like,
they weren't. There were still bugs. That was the one
and
thing.
You can't
like,
fix them. You like, can't fix them. Cartridge.
We're not gonna allow bugs in our games. Like, how do you stop that?
Right. You play the entire game in every possible way and figure out there's no bugs.
Like, it sounds really cool to actually think about it, that, like, it's a really, really, really terrible idea, and that's why it's never going to happen. Like, it's never coming out.
Yeah.
If it did, it would sell a couple hundred units, and they would have maybe whatever launch games they had for it, and that's it. Like, worse than the, what the hell was that, like, $100 system that came out a couple years ago?
Ouya?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, worse than, it would do worse than Ouya.
Which, I mean, like, the Ouya on like a base level wasn't a bad idea. Like,
it's a better idea than the retro VGS.
It was just shittily put together. Like, and they made promises they couldn't keep, because like basically like Android is strong enough to run games. Like, look at all the emulators that run off of Android phones. So
yeah,
like it can run shit. Either of you guys see the Ghostbusters trailer?
I still haven't seen it.
Or the
I was afraid to look.
Were you? I did not think it was good. Kind of wanted Pete to be here to. I think he liked
it. I'm sure he would have. Oh, you think he liked it?
I think he liked it, which was weird because Pete doesn't like anything.
Right. So confused.
Did either of you see the new Captain America trailer?
Also, no. I'm trying to stay away from that until I see the movie.
Yeah, I kind of wish I did, because
I want to see it.
They revealed something in that I was like, "This is a shame."
Spider-Man.
Yeah, they do. They show him in the trailer, but
is that what you're talking
about? Everyone knows that Spider-Man's in the movie, right. But they reveal the reveal of Spider-Man. Like, it's like, really? Like, you burned it there? You could have just had him, like, swinging or something. Like, I don't know.
I thought that the first trailer sold me on it just fine. Like, that ending gives me chills. I've seen it, like, 6 times in theaters.
The one where Bucky and Steve are going at Tony.
Yeah, and he's like, you know, we used to be our friends or something like that. Something about how we used to be friends. And then they just start fighting, and it's just a civil war. I was like, oh, man, I'm sold. All right, I'm in.
Yeah, I think they might go a little too much with the trailers. They give too much away.
I still want to see it because I heard that Spider-Man's in it, so I gotta watch it.
Yeah, it sounds like we'll all be going to see that though. So.
I did hear that Ghostbusters has an international trailer that's better than the one they showed.
We'll have to check that out because I was not in love with that trailer. Actually, I came away from that going, I don't think this is gonna be very good.
See, I think I could be okay. I mean, I haven't seen it yet, but, like, I don't hold the Ghostbusters in, like, such high regard. It's not, like, sacred to me, so, like, you could do whatever you want with it. Yeah,
neither do I, though. Like, I do not love Ghostbusters. I just did not, like, it seemed like they were trying too hard, like, in that first trailer.
I'll have to watch it.
Like, I didn't get, I don't know, there's something about the original Ghostbusters, and I don't like Ghostbusters 2 at all, but, something about the original Ghostbusters, like, there's, like, a sarcastic humor that Bill Murray has, and
yeah,
it just works. Like, that movie works, even if, like, I don't love it. Like, it and this just seemed like it was trying a little bit too hard, and I did not smile at all during that trailer. So I'll check out the international one. Maybe it was just a bad cut.
Is that this summer?
July 14th.
I'm on vacation that week, so I'll probably see it. No, actually, I probably won't see it, because I'll be on vacation, so fuck that.
It's like, I'm off, I'm not going to go see it.
No, like I'll be on, like, legit vacation.
Oh, like away.
Yeah, yeah, so I don't think I'm going to drag myself to a movie theater.
Where are you going on vacation, Jeff?
I'm going to Hilton Head, South Carolina.
There you go.
I've never been there, so can't really say much about it, but there's an ocean there, and I like the ocean, so...
Okay.
We'll see how that goes. Like, right on the beach. So be
cool. Are you stopping in Washington, D.C. on your way?
No. How does... My path does not go like that.
It's not that far away. It's only, like, six hours.
You can swing on by, though, if you're bored.
Oh, I'm totally bored.
I'm going to have a nice little condo right on the beach.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, Jeff, you don't want to take off the week before and go to Disney World with me?
Are you?
I'll be there for my kids. Their dance competition's in Orlando, so.
It's crossed my mind, like, multiple times that, like, you've already gone all the way down there to South Carolina. You should just go to Disney World instead. I love Disney World, and I haven't been there in a long time, so. It hurts, but maybe next year.
All right. We'll be back next week. Actually, it's really light for games the rest of the week, rest of the month. So,
no.
I'm except gonna be
Hitman.
Hitman, I'll yeah.
I'll be done with Zelda.
Are you gonna try Hitman, Tony?
I already have pre-ordered.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, I had $10 of free money in my Xbox Live account. I'm like, what am I gonna do with this money? And then the intro pack to Hitman was only $15.
There you go. So
I couldn't stop myself. Don was like, no, use that money for The Division. And I'm like, no, Hitman.
Well, $5 versus, like, $50.
is it Hitman next week?
It's tomorrow.
As in
it's Friday. The
11th. Oh, really?
It's actually, it might be unlocked now.
It's $5?
No, $15. Oh. Tony had $10 in credit.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So, yeah, well, and I think Don is going to come on next week and talk about The Division.
He could try to convince me to buy it.
He could talk about it more in depth, I'm sure, because he has played a lot more of it than I have. And I think Fozzie has played it as well. And Fozzie and Pete will be talking about Mountain Dew sodas.
Stardew Valley.
Right, that.
It's Starburst. Really, it's on
Starburst Fozzie's Valley.
Starburst Valley. I might play that game.
I really want Starburst.
Jeff, what is Stardew Valley?
It's like Harvest Moon, from what I've heard, kind of.
Oh, so yeah, that might be why I looked at it and went, this looks weird, and well, I have zero interest.
There's got to be some sort of hook or like something more to it, like that Fozzie would put it in his top 10. So
Taste the Rainbow. Oh, wait, that's Skittles.
If it's just like Harvest Moon, if it's just Harvest Moon, like I find that game really boring. So, I don't know.
Well, remember, Fozzie does like to play games for a very short period of time and declare them the greatest things ever. So, but then 6 months later, he goes, that game wasn't all that good. But you said it was the best. He has stuff
with Rocket League. Talking about that game, though.
Yeah, it's... I don't know. We'll,
I'm not buying it.
We will hear all about it next week. Jeff, say goodnight.
Good night.